October is Crime Prevention Month. Today, we'll take a look at crime in Yuma. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition Live on KAWC, show number 34. The vacant homes of winter visitors are a target, so are seniors living in our community, and drug crimes continue to be an issue for our city. My guest today is Lieutenant Scott LeGros of the Yuma Police Department. We invited Lieutenant LeGros because he was part of a presentation last month to members of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, along with a colleague from the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, on crime in our community. What are the most common, and how gangs are contributing? We'll talk about crimes committed in Yuma, and we'll hear how you can get to know your local first responders at an event in the city tomorrow. Lieutenant LeGros, thank you for coming in.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. So the information you're providing today and that you provided to the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, where does that come from? Are those the actual crime statistics from YPD compiled by YPD?
Yes. We have a crime statistician that actually compiles all of our crime statistics based on the number of reports taken throughout the year. And we compare those with what we did for the slideshow is we compared them with the county statistics. They have a similar person in a similar position. So when we took the two sets of statistics and put them together, we actually found that they were very reflective of each other, very similar. We do have a spike in certain times of the year for fraud and burglary type crimes, and that's based on the influx of seasonal workers and the winter visitors that come back into town and discover their trailers or their homes have been broken into. So those are very a seasonal kind of thing.
So the data that we're hearing about today, what's the time frame of this data?
We went back a full year. So we're looking at, let me pull this up real quick, from July to September of this year, July of last year to September of this year.
So what does the data tell us about the most common crimes in Yuma? Let's go through them. Burglary tops the list.
Burglary is very, very common. The ones we see most are within the city itself, and a lot of those are gang targets. And what they're looking for is electronic. There are some folks that are drug addicts that are breaking into houses. They're looking for money and electronic devices that they can take to the pawn shops. The gangs are looking for drugs and guns, basically, and money if they can get it. So basically what they're doing is they're either selling those guns on the black market or to other gang members, or they're taking them south into Mexico and making profit off of them.
And there are some, unfortunately, juicy targets sitting empty.
Yes, yes.
We
do have a number of targets that are sitting empty, unfortunately, and they don't have the best security in some of these trailer parks. Unfortunately, we're working through the crime-free multi-housing and through some other programs that the federal government sponsors to have folks go out and do inspections on these trailer parks and see that they're up to standards with better lighting and better security measures and alarm systems and things like that that we can put in place and then go in when the seasonal folks are here. We can go in and kind of brief them on what they can expect from their local police department and what they can do to kind of harden the target a little bit, such as putting camera systems in or alarm systems or increasing mobile security, on site. So
we're into the season. Winter visitors are arriving now. Does that mean that the police department's getting more and more reports in the next month or so?
Yes, we will see a spike in burglary reports. We'll see a spike in fraud reports. But frauds kind of stay, well, we do see a seasonal spike, but they kind of stay steady throughout the year, just based on the population density, but we will see a spike in the winter season.
Assault is the number two crime in Yuma. Could you define assault for us?
Basically, it's touching someone in order to harm them, getting punched, pushed, any kind of physical confrontation where someone could get injured. It could be determined to be an assault.
No one wants to be robbed, but that's kind of the scariest of the top three here because that's a threat to your physical safety.
Yes, we do have robberies in town. We don't have very many, fortunately. But on the occasion that we do have an armed robbery, it's very, very serious issue. We do our best to try to find those suspects and take them into custody and bring them to justice, basically. But it can be difficult sometimes if witnesses or victims are not being cooperative. Occasionally we do see it, but for the most part, everybody wants to be forthcoming. We do have a lot of very honest citizens in the city of Yuma, fortunately, and they do back the police department, and they will come forward, and we do get a lot of leads over time. So we have a very good rate of solving crimes around.
And assault, one of those crimes that can be personal.
Yes. when you're talking about domestic violence, we do see a lot of domestic violence assaults. Fortunately, we have a center where we can take folks that are victims. Amberlee's Place is a very good support group for these folks, and they can provide all sorts of services, counseling and other support for them. So.
Next on the list is drug offenses, and that seems like a pretty broad area. So what does that include?
Drug offenses includes from the user all the way up to the cartels actually bringing the drugs into the local area. When I worked with the narcotics unit, we were looking for the drug dealers, and we were looking for the drug loads coming through town. So that was our target. We didn't focus so much on the lower street level dealers, or occasionally we did. We would target a certain area to find a dealer, and we would just work up the tree, much like you see on some of these shows. We would work up the chain until we can get to the higher source. Unfortunately, a lot of that is in Mexico, so we can't really do anything with it unless we work with our federal partners, which we have a very strong relationship with. So we have folks that are members of our task force locally with the county and some of our local federal partners with the Yuma County Narcotics Task Force.
Do we have it a little different here in Yuma because of our proximity to the border with drug crimes?
Yes. We do have a lot of drugs that come through town. So typically we'll have drugs going north and guns and money going south. The job of the Narcotics Task Force and many of our local federal agencies is to interdict that. Our job as a local police department is to help support what they can do, and we can deal with the street level narcotics trafficking while they deal with the higher level, the larger loads going through. And like I said, unfortunately, we do have quite a bit that comes through.
But it does supply the
it
demand.
It supplies the entire nation.
Right.
Most folks don't realize that Yuma is one of the major corridors it goes through. And then if you look at the map, it's like a tree almost. It comes right through Yuma, that it branches off into California and all the way up into Canada in some cases.
And, of course, those are networks and pathways that you're always trying to keep an eye on.
Yes. Yeah. We have started cases here in Yuma that ended up in Kansas City and other major metropolitan areas on the East Coast that got our intelligence briefings based on something we discovered here, and they found the same thing in those areas, and our information that we developed here actually helped them further their cases.
For years, we've heard how there's great cooperation between all of the law enforcement entities of Yuma, Yuma County, police departments, Border Patrol, Sheriff's Department. Is that still the case?
Yes. We have a very strong and a very unique relationship here in Yuma. We're very close with our local, state, and federal partners, to the point where it literally will take a phone call to get assistance from one of those units. My special operations group that I'm the commander of actually reaches out and works with Border Patrol. They work with Homeland Security Investigations, the Sheriff's Task Force. There's a number of different agencies that are here that most people don't recognize because they don't go out and work in a uniform. They work in undercover capacity. So they're doing a lot of behind the scenes type of work. And then usually when they need assistance from a marked or a uniformed officer, they'll call, and that's when we step in. If we're not involved in the front end, we'll step in and make the traffic stop for them, or we'll help assist with the furthering a case. Plus, I have, with my special operations group, I have some gang experts on board, and many times during the criminal prosecution, there's a gang nexus, so they ask our guys to develop the gang profile for that particular gang, and then we can submit that as the expert and testify as to the gang nexus in court, and that will help further the case, and plus to get the gang enhancements on the punishment phase of the.
If we could stick with drug offenses for a sec, in South County, we've been hearing a lot this past year about fentanyl coming into the community. Is that a problem for Yuma as well?
And, yes.
And is there a special way that you need to go after that drug, or are they all the kind of same?
We address each drug basically the same way. I mean, the drugs are smuggled in more or less the same ways. The way that we deal with fentanyl is a little bit different because fentanyl can be transdermal. It can be absorbed through the skin, and it can be inhaled. So we have to be very careful, and we have to issue our officers special equipment, masks and rubber gloves, and train them a specific way to handle that drug because of the dangers of that drug.
And a lot of people might not know that. I didn't know
the drug is just a small 25 micrograms, about the size of a grain of table salt, is enough to overdose a typical human being. They recently had a seizure of several thousand pills down in the San Luis area, which was a very unfortunate thing because it involves some younger kids. But yes, fentanyl is a very dangerous drug. We don't approach it any differently. It is a higher profile case for us, and we really want to get that off the streets. But unfortunately, we do have a fentanyl problem here. And I believe they're going to fentanyl more readily because heroin is different, or it's more difficult to obtain. And the fentanyl is a little bit cheaper per pill. So they get a quicker high, and it lasts a little longer. And, you know, unfortunately, it's very they do have it's a high probability of abuse. So.
Yeah. Another thing that's changed in recent years is police response to opioid overdoses. Is that something that's changed at YPD?
Yes. For the first time in my career, we've actually been issuing Narcan kits to our officers and training our officers to administer that Narcan to a victim. We've had several instances where our officers had to administer Narcan, and it's a nasal spray that we carry. And like I said, it's a sign of the times. It's unfortunate, but we adapt to the needs of the community. And when something like that occurs, and usually we're one of the first units there, we typically, if we're close, we'll usually beat the fire department there. They're driving the bigger trucks, so we can move through traffic a little quicker. And if we have Narcan in our vehicle, we can administer it and hopefully start that life-saving process, and then the fire department gets there and they can take over. But we have had quite a few overdoses. We typically have one or two a week, sometimes more.
My guest is Yuma Police Department Lieutenant Scott LeGros. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Lieutenant LeGros mentioned gangs and how they are involved in crime in Yuma County. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Arizona Edition Live.
Cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves. Individually, each of these spices are strong on their own, right? But combined, they make up something bigger, pumpkin spice. Did you know that? Well, every day, NPR News combines the latest news with in-depth reporting, stories that stick with you, local perspectives, and it gets you something else greater than the sum of all its parts. It's called Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
The Yuma County Library District presents Own It, Secure It, Protect It, an evening of discussion and insight into the world of cybersecurity in celebration of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. It'll be Tuesday evening at 5:30 at the main Yuma Library, located at 2951 South 21st Drive in Yuma.
Sunny skies for Yuma today, 95 the afternoon high. Clear skies expected tonight, 67 the overnight low. Sunny and 95 again on Friday. Sunshine today for the Parker area, 94 the afternoon high, with clear skies expected tonight, 64 the overnight low. Sunny and 95 for Parker on Friday. This is Arizona Edition Live. I'm Lou Gum. We're talking about crime in Yuma. My guest is Lieutenant Scott LeGros of the Yuma Police Department. Before the break, you mentioned that often gangs are a nexus in some of the crimes that are committed and how that kind of impacts your partnerships with other agencies. But let's talk about gangs. What does it take to be a gang? What does it take to be considered a gang?
Well, there's several different ways a gang member can be classified as a gang member. They have to either self-report, they have to have indicia of gangs, tattoos. There's a way that we can track a tattoo progression, and we can show they're progressing through the ranks of the gang, their affiliation with other members, association. There's the whole statute just defines everything about gangs, and that what comes with that is a series of enhancements in the criminal justice system. So if you have a criminal activity such as burglary or assault, and we can relate that to gangs, there is actually an enhancement for the punishment phase of the criminal justice system.
Because that's organized crime.
Yes, because that's a form of organized crime. Right. And there's other things that we can do on the federal side using the racketeering enforcement statutes to forfeit property and things like that. So those are very complicated ways of working with dealing with gangs, but we do do that sorts of activity. Like I said, it's very complicated, and we have to work with our federal partners very closely on that kind of stuff. So,
one of the things that came out of your report was approximately 60 gangs active in Yuma. What kinds of gangs are they? And are they gangs that people have heard of?
Yes, actually, we have a kind of a smattering of all different gangs here in Yuma. We have a lot of the Sereno Clique gangs, which are tied to the Southern California penal system. We also have, during the winter season, we have an influx of Norteño gangs, which is another Hispanic gang, which is tied to the Northern California penal system. So they're mostly related to prison gangs. However, we also do have motorcycle gangs. We have some Hells Angels representation here in town. We also have Vagos and Mongols that come through occasionally. So we watch them very closely. They're not typically involved in any criminal activity that we've noticed here, but you know, it is on our radar that when they do come into town, we do watch. So I mean, that's something that concerns us. But we mostly focus on the criminal street gangs, the Hispanic gangs, the local street gangs. They're involved in a lot of our drug activity, a lot of our assaults, robberies, burglaries. They're big on burglaries because they like to break into houses and steal money and guns. And
why the influx in the winter?
The winter, because most of the a lot of the families coming from the Salinas area, that's all Norteño territory up in that area. So a lot of those gang members that live with those families, you know, family members, they're members of Norteño gangs. And when they come to Yuma for the season, you know, they bring their gang activity with them. So we'll see a small spike in gang confrontations between Norteños and Sereños, which is our local group. And then at the end of the winter season, when everybody moves back north, that activity will begin to wane off and will fade. So,
what's unique about the gangs in Yuma? One of the things that came out of the presentation was that they kind of don't bother each other.
Well, when you're talking about those types of gangs, those are called hybrid gangs. And hybrid gangs are a little different animal. They actually don't run along typical territorial lines. They're not really associated with all different gangs, but they do it more for profit. So they're more into the burglaries, more into frauds. They're doing the check frauds and things like that, so credit card frauds. So you'll see those hybrid gangs, they don't run along the territorial lines. They're not really they don't stick to a code of conduct like the typical street gangs would. They actually have a code of conduct. They don't really adhere to that. They have their own interpretation. So we're seeing that a little bit here in Yuma, not much, but we have seen some of our gangs start to morph into more of a hybrid type of gang. You see them mostly in the Midwest and Kansas area, but yeah, we do have some of them here. They do graffiti and criminal damage and things like that. They're all into that, but we have ways to address that. We have the tags program, the anti-graffiti strategy, which the hotline number is 329-2828. If you have graffiti, you can call that in, and within 24 hours the city of Yuma will go out and paint over it.
The national argument is that gangs contribute to 80% of all crimes committed. How does that translate to Yuma and the statistics you've shared with us today?
Well, when we talk about Yuma, it's more of a nexus. There is a gang nexus to most of our criminal activity here in Yuma. That doesn't necessarily mean that 80% of all the criminal activity is gang-related or committed by a gang member, although there is a high percentage that actually is. What it means is basically 80% or higher has a gang nexus, meaning there is a gang member involved in some way. Eventually, like for instance, if somebody breaks into a house and steals property, that property gets trafficked. Eventually, somewhere along the way, there's a gang related to that, to the trafficking portion of that. Or there's drugs that are traded for the property. That's usually a gang-related issue. So there's some sort of gang nexus. It's connected in some way to gangs. So it doesn't necessarily mean that 80% of all criminal activity is committed by a gang member. I don't think we can say that in concrete, but we do know that at least 80 or better are do have a gang nexus.
What special strategies does it take to keep up with all of the, 60 different gangs? Do you have enough people to keep track of all of that?
We actually, we have a very small unit. We are really feeling the personnel shortage across the board in all of our units at the police department. And I think all the departments here in our area are feeling it. including our state and local federal partners. Law enforcement is not an easy field to get into, but I will use this as to encourage anybody who's thinking about getting into law enforcement to start looking into it at a younger or earlier age. If you have somebody that's coming up in high school, they need to start looking at it. And we do have some programs at the police department that are about to become implemented that will help somebody that wants to get into it. But we are short-staffed. We do have I have a gang unit or a special operations group that has four officers and a supervisor and a crime analyst, basically, is what she is. And those guys are basically experts in the gang, and what they do is they start gathering intelligence, they work with social media, and they work with a lot of the other units within the department, such as investigations, to address a lot of the gang issues.
We've got just a couple minutes left, so I wanted to mention that another way for people to learn more about law enforcement and first responders in general is at an event tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's the GAIN event, the Getting Arizona Involved in Neighborhoods.
Yes, that was an initiative that started about 17 years ago. It's the 17th annual GAIN event, which is starting on Saturday at 5 p.m., and it goes until 8 p.m. And again, if you want something to bring the family out to that's going to be probably the safest place in town,
right,
come out to Target parking lot for the GAIN event.
With some cool equipment.
With some really neat equipment. We'll have all the different agencies there, the fire department, sheriff's department. Some of our federal partners will be there with some of their equipment. The Yuma Police Department will be there with, I'm sure, that with some special operations, gang displays and some SWAT team things and some robots. So you'll have a lot of things to do. You'll have a lot of things to see. It'll be a lot of fun. You'll get some food and get some entertainment.
And the public's encouraged to engage with the officers and first responders to ask questions.
Absolutely. And that was one of that's been a very successful event. And for us to, not just for recruitment, but just, you know, communicating and connecting with the community.
So. All right. We've run out of time. I always hate to say that because there's so much more we could talk about. But my guest has been Yuma Police Department Lieutenant Scott LeGros. Thank you so much. And that tag number again, just in case.
32928, and that's the anti-graffiti strategy with the City of Yuma.
All right. Thank you so much. Hopefully the first of many conversations in the future. This is KAWC. You've been listening to Arizona Edition Live. I'm Luke Gumm.